Good afternoon. You are listening to Art Watch on WCHE AM Radio 1520 every Wednesday from 1 to 1:30. This is Rhoda Kaler. I am a sculptor, instructor, and general art enthusiast, and so happy you could join us today. My guests today will be Lynn Delport, Jean Petrosky, and Dennis Guzinski, and we are talking about some of the current shows opening in Chester County this week. Lynn Delport is the chair of the Malvern Retreat Art Show, which opens this week. She has always been involved in the arts and worked at the Artful Framer in Paoli for 23 years and one of the first certified picture framers in the U.S. as awarded by the Professional Picture Frame Association. After some traveling in Europe, she became a student at the Barnes Foundation, which led to her to become a docent at the Delaware Art Museum in 2005. She is currently a senior museum guide specializing in visual literacy and student tours. Joining us on the phone is Lynn Delport. Welcome, Lynn.
Hello, I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, Rhoda. I'm thrilled to have you. Thank you for taking the time. I know this is a busy week for you, and today is the opening.
Yeah.
How's it going over at the Malvern Retreat House?
Well, we open today at 10 o'clock, and it is quite busy over there.
Oh.
Yes, it's been fabulous.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, before we start talking about the Malvern Retreat Art Show, if you're the chair, you must be pretty special. So let's hear a little something about you. Can you just, like, tell us a little bit about yourself, that the picture, the Picture Framing Association, I never heard of that. Then you were awarded a professional picture framer, like certified? That's how, what is that?
Yes, well, the association is called PPFA, which stands for Professional Picture Framers Association, developed a program back in probably the 90s where they decided they wanted to standardize the profession more and create a designation of certified framers, and then you could go on to other master framers and all these different things. And they would have an examination that was given to you to become a certified when you would take a written examination that covered everything from the history of picture framing to actually how to calculate how many feet you would need for a certain size frame and all kinds of practical things like that. You would take the exam, and if you got a certain score, then you would be awarded this designation of a certified picture framer. So I was interested in this program, and the owner of the shop and I got together and went and took the exam, and we both passed. It was fabulous.
That's pretty cool. I didn't even know there was a degree for that. So that's pretty great. That's awesome. And you're really involved with the arts at the Delaware Art Museum and the Barnes. And tell us how that progressed.
Well, while working at the Artful Framer, I was one day talking to my brother, and he had become a student at the Barnes. My brother is a painter, and he was taking a class on the history of art, and I was talking about him and how that sounded so interesting. He said, "Well, why don't you take it?" And I took this class, and it totally changed my whole approach to understanding art by taking this class.
That's awesome.
And so because their method is so different than traditional sort of museum approach to studying art.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, coincidentally, I ended up changing locations and moving to Delaware. And so I decided, well, maybe I would like to go work at the Delaware Art Museum. And so
wonderful.
I went there to apply, and it worked perfectly.
Oh, that's great. I think that is such a great museum. I teach an art class there, and it's such a nice, small, manageable, friendly, but it's large enough that you feel like there's a lot to see and do, but it's not too big. I just love that museum and the people there.
Yeah, it's
fantastic.
It's a jewel. It's a little jewel.
It is.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of funny that when we were, kind of catching up, and then you were at the museum and I happened to be at the museum at the same time, but our paths didn't actually cross. So it's kind of funny how that happens. I love that, though. I was like, wow. Can you tell me more about how you got involved with the Malvern Retreat?
Well, I used to volunteer at a different art show with a group of wonderfully involved and dedicated volunteers. And that show ended for many reasons. And we were all sort of walking around, like, having withdrawal on what to do. Mm-hmm. And one of the volunteers happened to know someone at Malvern Retreat and said, hey, would you be interested in having an art show? And they said, well, we might be interested. And he said, well, we've been doing one for many years, and it's a fundraiser, and, you know, this is how much money we've always been able to raise. So we talked to the president of the art show and told him about our experience and we would like to do this. And he took a gamble on us, and here we are 8 years later.
Oh, that's fantastic. And so yeah. the proceeds go. So you are, just to clarify, you're a group and you're all volunteering for this fundraiser.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And then
the show is entirely run by volunteers.
Wow.
I am a volunteer. That's one way to keep it profitable. And the proceeds from all sales go back to Malvern Retreat House for programs for their retreatants.
Okay.
Yes.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. So they do retreats for what? I know it's a religious organization, right? Is it somewhat?
Well, the Malvern Retreat House is the oldest and largest Catholic retreat house, a retreat site in the United States, but it's owned by Catholic laity.
Okay.
And so they serve. They've been here for 107 years, if
wow.
you can believe that. And in that 107 years, they have served. They wrote it down for me. 1.3 million people have come for spiritual retreat.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
They serve youth, married couples, people in recovery, families, single men and women, and some particular themes retreat sometimes for men and women. You don't necessarily have to be Catholic, but they're almost always spiritual retreat.
Right, right. Well, I think that's yeah. wonderful. I didn't really know what exactly the Malvern Retreat was. It's kind of like a little hidden gem there. And
yeah.
I hadn't met somebody that had come for a retreat. It was actually from another place where I'm a resident artist. And he was telling me he knew all about it. And I was so surprised. And he had actually come to the show when I was in it a few years ago back. And I think that's really awesome. What a great cause. That's great
that
you
That was one reason
it.
Why they were interested in the art show as a way for the community to know that they even existed here. There are many people that have lived in Malvern for many years and never knew that 100 and some acres belonged to Malvern Retreat.
So, that's awesome. That's great. Oh, well, that's, wow, you're really doing a service then. That makes it even more powerful, the knowing that it's going to such a great cause and it's helping so many people. That's a large number of retreatants. If somebody wanted to look up the show and find out more about the Malvern Retreat, is there a website or do you have online info that I can tell our listeners right now while they're listening if they wanted to kind of Google it and look at things while you're talking?
Yes. So you can go directly to the Malvern Retreat House website, which is www.malvernretreat.com. And then that's their main website. And then you can click on events. And you can hit something that tells you a little more about the show, tells you times and things that are going on, the list of artists that are in the show and other information particularly about the show.
Awesome. Oh, that's good. Thank you. So listeners out there, if you are an artist working in your studios or wherever everybody's at, go on your phones and check this out. So how many artists do you have participating in your show this year?
This year is our largest show yet. We have 102 artists
Great.
In our show this year.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of energy put into that show. I mean, corralling that many people, volunteers
yeah.
as well as artists together is no
yeah.
small task.
yeah.
What can you show? So the show opens today. What are the times and dates if you could run that? I know it's on the website, but if you could just tell our listeners about.
So we are open to the public Wednesday through Sunday. We close Sunday, but from Wednesday through Saturday, we're open from 10 in the morning till 7 at night. Thursday is our night. We're going to have a big party.
Oh,
and so
fun.
We'll be open till 8 o'clock. From 5 until 8, we'll have a complimentary wine and cheese reception.
Great.
And we invite everybody to come and join us. And then Sunday, which is our last day, we're open from 10 until 4.
Okay. Fantastic. That's great. And the artist reception. So that, is it free or do people have to buy tickets? How does that work?
No, it is free. Come on over, bring your friends, bring, it's very well attended.
Okay.
Lots of people, lots of artists come. So it's an opportunity to come and chat with people or network with other artists. Actually, we encourage artists to come all throughout the time of the show to network with each other and to talk to, visitors, and there's quite a few people over there right now.
Nice, nice. And so that is that opening just for everybody when the artists will be there Thursday, January 31st from 5 to 8. And the really great thing is there's ample parking. So you don't have to pay for parking. You can just pull right up. It's in a beautiful setting back in the woods. I kind of forgot how beautiful it was until I saw you on Monday when I was dropping off. And I was reminded, I was like, oh, this is such a serene place. So it's,
and on the night of the party, if our big parking lot fills, there are other parking lots that you would be directed to, and then we have a little van that drives around and can pick you up and bring you right to the building.
Oh, that's so nice, especially with this cold weather. That's great.
Yes.
Oh, that's very nice that you're offering that. That's great. So how do you handpick your artists? How do you handpicked, or do artists juried in? How does that work?
We do have a jury. It meets every September, and we choose some new work every year. At the end of the show, so next week when the show closes, the week after that, the jury will come back again, evaluate the artists that were in the show this year, and then we usually invite back about 70% of the artists from this year, and that leaves space for new work for next year. So then in September, the jury comes back, choose new artists, and away we go.
Nice. So you kind of keep it fresh by keeping, you know, that 30% open that you're allowing new artists to come in and keep rotating on that rotating basis. That's it. So the artists out there that may want to jury in, they need to look maybe on the website to find that jurying process, or when they need to in September that you spoke of?
Yes. Well, I have applications to jury at the show, so they could come and say hello, and I'll give them an application. After the show closes, then the applications will be online at the Malvern Retreat website, so you can get them there, too, after the show.
Okay.
And then, you know, after that, there is a address, a email address, and I can send them an application as well.
Oh, well, fantastic. Lynn, thank you so much. I just got the 1 minute warning that we're going to break. Is there any other, I know it goes so fast, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is there any other information that you would like to plug for the, before we go to commercial break?
Yes, we have a unique feature at our show that in one room, we have something that we call special focus, where we choose a theme every year and all the work in that room reflects that theme. So
great.
This year, our theme is water in all forms. So it's not just waterfalls and waves, although we've got some fabulous waterfall and waves in there. But there are themes like fog and dew. And Richard Bollinger has this pitcher of water with water glasses. So all kinds of things in there.
Oh, fantastic.
So be sure to not miss the special focus room.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, thanks, Lynn. It was, again, it was a true pleasure to get to talk to you and get to know you. And thank you for your service for chairing this huge undertaking and this wonderful event. We look forward to seeing the show this week. And thank you again.
Thank you, and I look forward to seeing everyone else, too.
Awesome, awesome. All right, when we get back, we'll be talking with Gene Petrosky and Dennis Guzenski about their art and the upcoming show at the Art Trust. Hang on. Hi, welcome back to Art Watch on WCHE AM Radio 1520. This is Rhoda Kaler, and my guests today are, for the second half of the show, I should clarify, Gene Petrosky and Dennis Guzinski. Jean Petrosky and Dennis Guzinski are artists who make handmade paper sculpture in a very unconventional way. They spray acid-free cotton fibers onto a wire mesh, creating a light but strong paper. While the pulp is still wet, the surface is textured with various tools, and once the paper is dry, it is sealed and embellished with acrylic glazes. Jean and Dennis have been pushing the limits of papermaking since 1987. Their work will be on exhibition at the Art Trust in Westchester, opening on Friday night in the show It Takes Two. Joining us on the phone are Jean and Dennis. Welcome, Jean and Dennis.
Hey, hi.
Hi, Rhoda.
Hey, Rhoda. How are you? Great, great, great. For our listeners who are listening, can you give us your website to describe your work right off the bat so they can go? Because your work is very unique, I should say, because it's not your typical paper, handmade paper sheets.
Okay, so our website is jpdesignart.com.
Great, great. Okay, so I know when I'm listening to these podcasts, I'm usually working in my studio, and I sometimes like to go right to the website and look at it to see what you're describing, because it's a little bit more, you can understand better, because your process is so unique, and I have been following your work for years, and now I have, and when I saw you were delivering at the Art Trust, I was really blown away, because this is a whole new body of work. Tell us how you got here, and you know, you and Dennis work together, so this kind of intrigues me, because you're working as a couple, so I want to hear all the details.
All right, well, we started working together in 2004-ish. We actually met in 2002 at a retreat, and well, you packed a lot of answers in that one little question.
I know. Just take it at your own pace. Sorry about that.
And Dennis asked me how I made paper. He heard me talking about paper making, and he had no idea what that was about. So I invited him down. He lived in Scranton, and invited him down and showed him how to make paper. And we kind of hung out together and liked each other, and here we are.
Oh, that's so, it's kind of romantic too. Now you're making art together. Oh, yeah. Well, what did Dennis, what did you do before you started, working with Jean?
Well, before I started working with Jean, I've been a painter almost all my whole life.
Okay. What kind of painter?
Well, I used to work, Victorian homes, and, I did that for many years, and it got to be a drag because you can only do so many in a year.
Right.
Weather-wise. So I decided to go to school in New York to learn decorative painting, and I did that, and I just loved it.
Right.
And I still love it. And when I met Jean, I learned about paper making from her, and the products I use on people's walls are the same products we use today on our work.
No way. Well, that's pretty cool that it transferred over. You could use your expertise on the paper as well as Victorian homes. So tell us, how do you work it? How do you share a studio? Like, how does that work? Do you share a studio? Do you have separate studios, or how's the process?
We have one studio, and, we have different jobs in the studio. So once a piece is designed by Gene usually designs the pieces. Once that's designed, I make all the paper now, and Gene does all the painting. We kind of switch roles. And so I'm in there in the morning with the compressor going and lots of noise, and Jean is there later in the day where it's nice and quiet and peaceful.
Peaceful. Well, that works out well for Jean.
Yes. And the best part, you ladies out there, or men, is that Dennis goes home around 3 and makes dinner.
Oh, wow. This is a nice arrangement.
So I get to work till about 7, which is about, I like to work from about 10 to 7.
Okay.
And then when I come home, dinner is ready.
Oh, wow. I love these modern arrangements. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
So where's your studio located? Is that studio open to the public if it's not in your house?
The studio is on, it's 243 Jefferson Avenue and in Pottstown. And it's, it's a working studio. People are welcome to come in if it's an appointment because, you know, we are the CEO and the janitor, and we travel to shows, and so we need an appointment to know that you're coming.
Right, of course.
Yeah, but our home and our studio are separated.
Okay.
It works well because I'm a workaholic.
Yeah.
And if it was in my home, I'd be there 24/7.
Right. Right. I totally understand. My studio is right beside my house. So I'm constantly going back and forth. And yeah, I get it. That's pretty smart of you to arrange it this way, to rent a studio space. Or is it a building? Is it a whole building, or is it like a storefront, or what is your studio like? Or is it a big warehouse?
No, our studio, it used to be a horse farm 100 years ago.
No.
So we have a tenant upstairs who is a guitar maker.
Oh, that's so cool.
And so we work in the downstairs portion.
That's very nice. So you have this nice, serene out in the country. I see. Okay. This is great. Wow. Mm-hmm. I definitely want to arrange a studio visit.
Yeah. No, it's not in the country. It's right in downtown Pottstown. It's not on the main drag. So our neighbor is a cemetery.
Okay.
On the one side of our neighbor.
So they're pretty quiet.
Cemetery. And then we're in a regular development. It just happens to be an old horse stable.
Oh, very cool.
Old, so.
Okay. That's very cool. Well, what, tell us about your work that you have at, It Takes Two. And this, so It Takes Two is, for our listeners out there, opens this Friday night, and it's artists in pairs. So, Jeff Shaler and his daughter Mia are in it. Jean and Dennis, you're both in it, and my husband and I are in it. And this is my husband's very first show, and I just love the whole concept of the show, and it's very exciting. And when I saw you guys, we were kind of in a hurry because we were taking trips back and forth from my studio, and I wanted to just grab you and pull you aside and just talk about your work because it's so new and fresh. Can you describe the pieces that you have in there and what people are going to see Friday night?
Sure. I don't want to give too much away because you got to come. It's going to be a fabulous show.
Oh, yeah.
But the work has evolved. You asked this in the first big question. It's evolved from using colored pulps to make my papers and to painting on the paper. And that happened, there's a short story in that it happened mostly because of Dennis. And the long story is I was doing wholesaling of the work and I could not replicate colored pulp. So I was initiating painting on the paper. So when they ordered, a blue 101, I could paint it blue 101 instead of trying to get that pulp color.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the work has changed drastically since you've probably first seen it, which was lots of layers of paper organically put together, so it created a lot of flow. We used to call them the flow piece. Mm-hmm. But in about 7 to 10 years, I became the technician, and I knew how to make it work. And for me, as an artist, that gets kind of boring. So I'm always open to new ideas, new directions, and when this painting came about, it just was so exciting and so different, and I didn't know what I was doing, that intrigued me. The work that you'll see at the Art Trust is still the layers of paper, because I like the dimension of that, and hopefully it's inviting to people to look into the piece. So between the layers, there's holes between on each layer. So you're kind of looking through the work a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I still want to keep that. And the layering creates movement and intrigue. And that's how our work has changed over the years.
Awesome.
We also wanted to show different textures and incorporate some of the resin that we've been using into the pieces. And we're always striving to make the paper stronger and better. So we've been playing with resin, and we are determined this year to actually strengthen the paper even more.
Wow. Wow. This is exciting. I hope everybody out there is on your website looking at it, because it's really, I could spend a lot of time looking. What is your inspiration for those pieces? Because looking at them, I'm very drawn to them.
Inspiration in general for me is simplicity. And even though it's simplicity with complication. So even though they're complicated by the layers, that seem, or the coloration, I try to create a simplicity in there. And I'm personally drawn to simple things that I can stand and breathe and look at and explore. I'm a minimalist, and there's too much to look at, I get overwhelmed. So I'm trying to create that in our work, because we're also trying to get into corporate art buyers into more hospital settings and meditative areas that I think our work would be perfect in.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Are you in any corporate arrangements at the moment?
That's a good question. We have many works down in Texas with Skyline Art Services. They contact us to do work for them. We're hoping to get in with the Pottstown Hospital.
Ooh, great.
And then we're going to stay in the East Coast just because of shipping and everything for right now. But the hope is that we would do nationwide.
That's wonderful, wonderful. Well, what upcoming shows do you have other than the Art Trust that see people wanted to see you or your work out there? Where would we find you?
Well, on February 22nd and 3rd and 4th, we'll be in Baltimore at the American Craft Council show.
Great.
And then we're doing Bethesda, Maryland on Mother's Day weekend, May 11th and 12th.
Great. Awesome.
Rittenhouse Square Fine Art Show. We do the June 7th, 8th, and 9th, which is the first weekend in June, and September 13th, 14th, and 15th. They have two shows.
Oh, you're packed. That's wonderful. Oh, well, we can see you, and that's probably on your website. I'm sure that people wanted to follow you and go check out your work and see your booth. They could do that. Well, Gina Dennis, it has been a pleasure to talk with you today about your work and upcoming shows. And thank you for taking the time to do this out of your studio time, both of you.
You're welcome, Rhoda.
Thank you. All right. Well, we will see you at the Art Trust opening night, Friday.
Great.
February 1st. It's 5 to 8:30. We will see you there. Join us every Wednesday here at the Art Watch, WCHE AM Radio, 1520 from 1 to 1:30 each week. For past episodes of Art Watch, go to Lili Gaylor's website, www.liligaylor.com, and click on Art Watch. Next week, Lili Gaylor will interview PAFA director Brooke Davis Anderson. And also, this is a big weekend. What's happening in our neighborhoods? Church Street Gallery tonight is featuring Charles J with a live demo tonight, and he has a sold-out show in Church Street in Westchester. Congrats to Church Street and to Charles J. So they should be probably open on Friday night, but I know tonight he will be doing a live demo. Congrats to Stan Smokler and Rick Rothrock, who have a show at the Delaware Contemporary. I saw it this weekend. It is fantastic. Must see. The Delaware Contemporary is such a nice and refreshing gallery space as well. The Five Senses will be open in Westchester. Gallery 2-2 will be opening their watercolor show. And don't miss the Art Trust this Friday night. It takes two. And I want to shout out to my husband and congratulate him on his very first art show. And I want to wish him a great success. So thank you for listening, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you in the arts.